ITS Coffee Break for Wednesday, November 25th, 2009.
On this week's Be Thanksgiving edition of the ITS Coffee Break, we have some IT news, including upcoming Clamp Moodle brown bags we're leading. And in tech news, we'll have some interesting items for you regarding the Mars rover driver, Twitter introducing lists, clout, Shazam, and a problem with Droid that's quite entertaining.
Welcome to the ITS Coffee Break. My name's Ken Newquist.
And I'm Courtney Bentley.
And, I think this is like our third podcast in a month.
I know. Well, there is something satisfying about using the day before Thanksgiving to actually get work done and fun stuff done.
So. Yes, yes. So it is nice to take a little break from like our craziness of the last week or so to, you know, kick back, talk to you guys about technology, that kind of stuff.
Absolutely.
So the first thing we want to talk about is CLAMP, the Collaborative Liberal Arts Moodle Project, which is basically a big fancy way of saying, hey, we work with other schools, is having a bunch of brown bags. And I don't know how many people are going to be particularly interested in this, but we thought we'd throw it out there. Basically, what we're doing is we're meeting using Illuminate, which is online audio video conferencing tool.
Yep.
Is that a good way to describe
Web conferencing tool, yeah.
Web conferencing tool. And we're having a couple of different brown bags. So the next one, we've had two, one of which was actually about Illuminate itself, just explaining to people how to use it.
And then this week I had about probably 8 to 9 people attend one on documentation and how we do our documentation for CLAMP.
And then next week we're going to have one, and this is one that people might want to stop in on, is Caroline Moore from Smith College will be talking about code development and some of the work she's done on modules for Moodle, and then also just what we've done as a group in our code development for Moodle. And then after that, we're going to have an introduction to Redmine, which I think is back to you, right?
I think so. Yeah. I got to figure out how to do that one.
So Redmine is this kind of like collaboration suite that we use. It can do wikis, project tracking, that kind of stuff. And then finally, we'll be doing one on version control, which I think is going to be Daniel Landau from Reed College, which will be talking about Subversion. And I don't know, he might talk a little bit about Git. One of the challenges when you're working with a whole bunch of different developers at a number of different schools is keeping track of all your code. So version control allows us to do that. And I mean, one of the really big challenges we have is we have all this external code that we're doing as well. It's not just new code that we're writing. It's like we have to pull down Moodle code, make our modifications, and then when the next Moodle comes along, we need to merge all that. So it's been something of a challenge, and I think a learning experience for all of us, but it's been one of the really cool things that's come out of our collaboration, I think. So at least from the development side of things.
Yeah. So if you're interested in attending, we do need you to register because I think that we're sort of limited on space.
Yeah. So there's if you go to clamp-it.org, there's a registration link right on the homepage. And actually, I'll probably include that in the show notes.
Yeah. So in other IT news, Jason Alley, one of our other instructional technologists, attended WordCamp NYC.
Yeah, so I was kind of hoping that we'd be able to like snag him momentarily for him to talk about this.
But, you know, somebody thinks they should take a comp day for being gone to WordCamp.
I know. He goes away for the weekend and suddenly he thinks he deserves like a day off.
I don't understand.
I mean, he wasn't having fun at WordCamp.
Right. Absolutely.
But in any case, yeah, he did have some cool stuff that was at WordCamp. He found a bunch of new modules and plugins that we want to take a look at. I think he got to meet a bunch of people. And I think the cool thing that came out of it from talking with him about it was just seeing what other people are doing.
Right. And a couple of our colleagues from communications division were able to go as well. So I think it was good to sort of round the troops and head over there and get some good ideas. And
especially since it was in New York. I mean,
right.
How could you not go? Right?
Yeah, you can't go wrong.
So in tech news this week,
we have some fun stuff in tech news.
I think we've got a lot of fun stuff in tech news. And the first thing I wanted to talk about was Mars and Me, which is the unofficial diary of a Mars rover driver, which is just really, really cool.
And it also uses Twitter, right?
And it uses Twitter. So it's a blog and it's Twitter. And they basically talk. I mean, it's one of the guys who drives the Mars rover. And I think he... I think he's doing Opportunity. Spirit's the one that's currently stuck. So I think he's actually driving Opportunity. But he talks about Spirit as well. So, you know, and they've been doing this. I mean, those rovers have been going for like, what, 3 years now or something? I mean, something crazy. But it's just cool because it's cool on a couple different fronts. But like when he does his blog posts, he does it based on Mars time, not Earth time. And they measure the passage of time in souls because the day on Mars is slightly longer. It's about 40 minutes longer than Earth day because, you know, Mars being further from the sun and all, right? So they actually operate on Mars time. Actually, I think when they first started the mission, they were totally on Mars time. So they would come in and leave based on the Martian clock, not on Earth clock.
Huh.
And, you know, they kind of get out of sync after a while. So they're showing up at like 2 in the morning when it's actually like 5 a.m. on Mars or whatever. So
interesting.
It's very interesting. And I got to say that if you haven't been following NASA in their social media stuff, you really should, because they've been doing some really cool stuff.
Yeah.
They have accounts for Cassini, which is the space probe that's out at Saturn right now. They've been tweeting the rovers. There have been a couple astronauts who've been tweeting. And I think one of the criticisms of NASA has been that they haven't done a really good job of outreach with the web and like really trying to engage people. And I think that they've kind of turned the corner. I think they've let their people go free and kind of gotten free of the bureaucracy and actually are talking about stuff.
Yeah, it does seem that way. It's pretty interesting when I trip upon some stuff.
So. And it's usually approachable. You know, it's not like Twitter would normally be like the NASA dream, right? Because you could fit a whole bunch of acronyms into 140 characters. But they don't do that. They're really conversational. They're not, you know, if they have an acronym, they'll define it. It's not your standard space jargon. So
yeah.
I think it's...
Well, you know, I would be interested, and maybe I'll do a little digging and see now that we're talking about this, but I'm interested to see if maybe NASA has one of their sort of outreach people teaching these people how to use social media in appropriate ways. Because I think that's really where a lot of organizations fall down.
Yeah.
Is that they think, oh, well, we need to use this social media thing, and then it's just really annoying.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they're doing something right. So either they've got a bunch of people who are getting together at these different, you know, at JPL or whatever and talking, or they're doing a good job of training. But it would be nice to know because, I mean, they've done this. I think, I'm trying to remember where they started it. It might have been the rovers that actually kicked it off. But
yeah,
I know they did it for the Polar Lander, the Phoenix Polar Lander that they did a couple of, I guess it was last year. And it's been good. It's been really good.
Cool. Well, another Twitter-related thing.
Yes.
Twitter is introducing lists, which we can all rejoice about.
I think they're pretty cool. Have you been using them at all?
Or? I actually haven't. I just haven't taken the time to go do it.
And I think it's one of those things where it's kind of like, you know, categorizing your stuff in delicious.
Right.
You know, you have to go back and do it.
Exactly.
So, I mean, you and I have been on it for long enough that we have like a built up list of contacts, but they're not organized. They're just sitting there, right?
Right.
So I think lists get you two things. One, it allows you to organize your followers or the people you're following in a logical way. So one of the things that I've started to do on my, I have two Twitter accounts now. I have like my professional Twitter account. I've started kind of saying, okay, well, these are the schools that are tweeting, right? So I created a list for higher education institutions that tweet. In my personal blog, I've come up with a bunch of lists for like for gamers. So this is a gaming company. These are gamers that I follow. These are people who play a particular game, that kind of stuff. And it's the other thing that they do for you, in addition to being able to say, okay, well, these are those people, you can then look at that list and just see those tweets. So you could set up one for friends and then just see your true friends. Or no, I shouldn't say true friends. Your real world friends versus your virtual friends,
right,
you know.
Yeah, I think it will be really helpful.
Yeah.
So I should probably spend some time this weekend doing it.
I think it's worth the investment, especially for me, like when it's time to go back and, you know, we're having conversations about, well, could you tell me a couple colleges that are doing good stuff with Twitter? Well, now I can go, yes.
And let me show you what they're saying.
The University of Rochester does a lot of good stuff with Twitter. And hey, check out their feed. So.
Right. So if you're interested in actually taking a look at your social network on Twitter, there's actually a new-ish service called Clout, and that's Klout. And basically it lets you assess your social network. So it gives you a score. Mine is really lame. Ken is a rock star, but we all knew that. But it lets you just take a look at sort of how it assesses you, I guess.
Yeah, and I think it's trying to make connections between the people you follow, the people who are following you, and like how you're I think it's more fun than anything else. I don't know that it's like for serious data analysis.
Right.
But I mean, if you're trying to get a feel for, you know, how your social network kind of spreads out, I think that's the thing that I'd be most interested in. I haven't really seen a lot of apps that are doing that kind of mapping. Like, you know, the strength of Twitter is potentially, you know, if I have 700 followers and I tweet something, the potential reach of that is, you know, their followers and then da 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 da.
Right.
And it's nice to kind of explore that web and see how things can go. But this is a good start for that. But we've talked a lot about Twitter.
We are. So let's switch gears to something else we love.
Yeah, I know. This is like our this is like Twitter, Google, and the iPhone.
Yeah. So
which is like half of our podcasts.
Yeah. Sorry. Send us new topics if you hate these. And maybe we'll consider them. Shazam. So I don't know how many of you have an iPhone and how many of you have downloaded Shazam. But I know that my husband Calvin and I basically love it because right now, for some reason, TV shows have these insane playlists of like really good music and you never know who it is.
Are you watching Glee?
I do watch Glee. But
are you a Gleek?
I'm on the verge of a Gleek, yeah. But I don't use it for that. Or we'll be like shopping somewhere and like there'll be some cool kind of vibey tune and so Kelvin will pull it out and
so
see
what does Shazam
it is.
Do?
So basically it hears a song or a portion of a song and then it looks in its database and basically gives you the title of the song and who is singing it and generally what album it's on. And then usually gives you options to purchase. So this has been a free app. It was probably one of the first really popular apps because it was one of the ways that you could like show off your iPhone, like, ooh, look what this will do, right?
Right.
Well, it looks like Shazam has raised their price.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is leading people to wonder if Shazam is really the one to pick now.
Right.
So there are two other competitors that are really good and actually provide more service, things like lyrics and stuff like that.
And all of these are for a fee, but they're not necessarily, like, if you're going to be paying, then you might as well go and see what else you can get, right?
Absolutely.
I think if I remember, there's an article in the New York Times about this.
Yeah.
And I think, which just goes to show how, you know, geeky the world has gotten, right?
The New York Times
is talking about the music sharing apps. But I guess technically the Shazam app will still be available in a free version, but you're only going to be able to, like, analyze 5 songs a month for free. Something really low like that. So,
Move on.
So, in other news, you know, because there's this little bit of a war going on between the iPhone and this other smartphone that you may have heard of called Droid, which is basically, I don't know if they're going to quite call it an iPhone killer. I think they'd like it to be an iPhone killer. But the idea is that this is based on Google's Android platform. It's the basically Android 2.0. When Android first came out, I think it was a little bit underwhelming for some people. I think there was some, you know, early adopter pain. It wasn't quite as polished as people were hoping for. With the Droid, they're hoping to really nail down some of those things and really polish the edges. However, the Droid apparently has a bit of an autofocus problem. And this has got to be the most obscure, weird bug.
I'm just surprised we didn't find it.
I know.
Because it sounds like something we would uncover.
Yes, exactly. If we had Droids,
yeah,
we would have discovered it. But, so here's the deal. Droid has an autofocus problem. And on the 17th of November, it miraculously healed itself. So everyone's like, oh, gee, you know, what happened? Did they secretly push an application update out there? You know, I don't remember approving, you know, any updates to my phone. So, and because there's geeks that are associated with this, you know, everybody gets a little paranoid, right? So it turns out that the truth is a little bit weirder. So it turns out that when it's doing the autofocusing thing, it uses the timestamp I'm assuming it's like to figure out how fast it's zooming in and out, right? So it needs to know what time it is. When it does the math to figure out how fast it's been zooming in and out, there's a rounding error. But the rounding error only happens every 24.5 days because of how the time works out, right? So it's based on the day of the month. So every 24.5 days, your phone will either be in focus or out of focus. And it just so happens on the 17th, it hit that mark and it started working again. So it'll be fine for another 24 and a half days until they release the patch, which will actually fix the problem.
So it's just entertaining. You know, I mean, we just find it amusing. Maybe it just makes our little geek hearts happy that, you know, weird stuff happens.
Weird stuff does happen. And usually it's us who finds it. But, yeah, it was just, I mean, it's funny, right? It's just like this rounding error in a date function is causing the thing to be out of focus. And then, and just the way that the math works out, it fixes itself every 24 and a half days.
Amusing.
Yeah, very amusing.
So in help news, we wanted to do a little WordPress at a glance and talk about Next Gen Gallery. This is actually a plugin that we have added to WordPress. We didn't develop it. We just adopted it.
And I think it is probably the most popular gallery software for WordPress.
Absolutely. So it's basically a photo publishing. It lets you publish galleries within your WordPress sites. It actually is really cool. It supports both slideshow and thumbnail displays, and you can insert into both pages and posts with that, which is pretty cool. And it allows for bulk uploading of files by using a zip file. So, for instance, Mike Jordan was going to add new pictures for study abroad. He didn't have to do those one by one. He was able just to zip them, push them up, and unzip them once they're in there. It's pretty cool because you can add descriptions, and the descriptions show up actually as part of the caption of the picture. And you have a lot of control about how things get displayed. So it's really, really cool for, you know, organizations, even, you know, scientists who are trying to display slides. I mean, it's got a lot of capability, a lot of functionality. The two potential gotchas, though, are that right now you need to disable the Flash file uploader because it doesn't work with our secure admin setup.
Right, so this is just the fancy, ooh, look, my progress bar is progressing. The regular standard uploader, which is actually what you use throughout the rest of the site because we've disabled it already for you, works just fine.
Yeah. So you just have to do that. And you also need to make sure you specify the location of the Image Rotator Help app if you want slideshow options.
Right.
So there are directions about this on both sites, I think, as a blog post, and also in the ITS site as a help document.
And I think that the other thing that's kind of amusing is that we've been getting a fair amount of traffic to sites because of people finding our next gen posts.
Yeah, people send us questions and want us to help them, so that's fine.
Yeah.
So speaking of help, we also have workshops scheduled for WordPress well into, I guess, December, and we'll be adding for January shortly if we haven't already. No, I don't think we have. But the next ones are Tuesday to December 8th. There's one for academic and administrative departments. And on Monday, December 14th, there's one geared more for personal and organization sites. So really the main difference between these two is that in the personal and organizational, you'll get more information about how to customize themes. Whereas the department one, you're pretty much tied to one theme. So we spend other time exploring other options rather than talking about customization.
Cool. So we are always looking for feedback on the show. You can email us at itsblog@lafayette.edu. You can stop by our website at sites.lafayette.edu/coffeebreak. Isn't that such a nice, clean
URL?
It
is very nice.
No more tildes. Actually, yeah. I don't think we had a tilde on the old one, but we had a tilde at one point.
Yeah.
But in any case,
it's messy.
You
this
can
is
stop
better.
By our Coffee Break blog and leave a comment. And, I guess those are the two big ways you can get in touch with us.
Yeah.
We're always looking for feedback. If you're tired of hearing us talk about Google, Droid, and iPhones, and Twitter, give us suggestions. We're always looking for story ideas.